Appreciate Phil leading that last song. It's one of my favorites, and we are going to spend some time this morning talking about Jesus. I wish that song were longer. It needs a couple of more verses. I want to keep going with that. It's one of my favorites. As Daniel has already mentioned, we welcome our visitors, and we're glad that you're here. We meet again this evening at 5 p.m. I want to talk about the abundant life at that time, and we hope that you'll come back. Have you ever thought about how that our world today would be different if certain individuals had not been born and if certain individuals had not done what they did? Just stop and think about our modern life. What if the Pilgrims had not gotten on the Mayflower and come to Plymouth Rock in 1620? Stop and think about that. What if John F. Kennedy had not been shot? What if Neil Armstrong had not walked on the moon? What if Henry Ford had not developed the car? What if Jonas Salk had not developed a vaccine for polio? What if Gettysburg had not been fought? Would we still have slavery? You ever thought about that? What if men had not fought at Gettysburg? What if Adolf Hitler had not been elected Supreme Chancellor of Germany in the 1930s? And what if he had not invaded Poland in 1939? Would world events have been a lot different if he had not invaded Poland? Do you have any family members that died in World War II or relatives that died in World War II? Things would be different, wouldn't they? You ever thought about how things would be different if certain individuals had never existed or if they had not done what they did? All of you have a cell phone this morning, pretty much all of you. Or a laptop or a computer. Do you realize that if Neil Armstrong had not walked on the moon, you probably wouldn't be holding those two devices? And you think, well, wait a minute, how's the connection between walking on the moon and a cell phone? Do you know that in the late 1950s and in the 1960s, when we were developing the space program, that our own American scientists began to experiment with circuit boards? And those of you who know a little bit about electronics know what a circuit board is. There were a lot of circuit boards that were developed during the 1960s so that we could put a man on the moon. Well, those circuit boards, about 10 years later, or five, became the precipitous for the computer. And then those same circuit boards were developed even more so that we begin to make cell phones from that. What if John F. Kennedy had never said, I want to put a man on the moon before the end of this decade? We wouldn't have had that advanced science and technology and that push that was pushed extremely on our men and women to develop things. We would not have some of the things that we have today. And so this morning, because the birth of Christ is on the minds of many, I want to ask the question, what if Jesus had never been born? I want us to think about that. And while we're not here this morning to engage in a religious celebration of the birth of Christ, I'm glad that people around the world are thinking about the birth of Christ, because as we're going to see this morning, it's quite extraordinary, and things would be different if he had not come. Now, there are a lot of people today that say, well, I can take it or leave it with Jesus. You know, I don't have to have God in my life. I don't have to have Jesus in my life. If some people want that crutch or that cripple, that's their business. I don't need that. And you certainly have that choice. You can take that approach. And a lot of people do. But I want you to think about this for a minute. You live in a world, even if you don't want God and Jesus and the Bible, you live in a world that has been impacted by Jesus, whether you want him in your life or not. And we're going to illustrate that this morning. In fact, what's so interesting about this is that all of us are the recipients in a number of areas of our life that I'm going to illustrate here in just a minute. We're all direct recipients of Jesus Christ, the very one that we don't want in our life. And we'll illustrate that in a minute. I'm told today that there are about 2.5 billion people who claim to be Christians. That's almost a third of our world's population of a little over 8 billion. If Jesus had never been born, we wouldn't have these many people claiming to be Christians. And before we get into the Bible material this morning, I want to give a few illustrations of how Jesus has impacted the lives of people all over the world. If Jesus had never been born, if Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem had not had a baby Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, God with us, Emmanuel, if Jesus had never come in to this life, things would be different. Do you know that Jesus has had an impact on our lives, even in what we might call non-religious areas? From the time that Jesus came into this world, about 4 BC, and lived his life and taught for 3 years and died on a cross, you know, from that time onward, there has been extreme impacts in our life. Let me just name a few. In the Roman Empire, when couples would have babies, they would often just throw them out on the rocks and let the wolves eat them. When Christianity came into the world, the value of human life raised. The unborn were taken care of better. The elderly were taken care of better. People who claimed to be Christians were the very ones who went out and tried to heal people. Do you know when the modern day hospital came along? You ever thought about that? The modern day hospital. When did it come along? Do you know the modern day hospital came along during the Middle Ages, from 500 AD to 1000 AD? And people claiming to be Christians went out and healed people. That's when the hospital started. It wasn't started by atheists. It wasn't started by skeptics and unbelievers. The hospital was started by people who claimed to follow Christ. You ever been to a hospital? Jesus has impacted the lives of many people. The treatment of the poor has increased. There have been people who have gone into poor countries and poor nations. Who is it today that makes trips? We hear about people making trips to third world countries. Atheists aren't making trips to third world countries to help anybody. People who, well, we're going to go on a mission trip. Well, who is that? People who claim to follow Jesus. Who is it that goes into the inner cities to help people out? Is it the politicians? No, they're too busy lining their wallets. Who is it that goes into the inner cities in some of these big places like New York and Chicago and Philadelphia and Atlanta and LA? Who is it that's going in there and getting their hands dirty in the inner cities to help the poor? It's people who claim to be Christians. Do you know that Jesus has impacted education? When did the modern day university get started? The modern day concept of sending young people to a 4-year university, when did that get started? In the late Middle Ages, Cambridge and Oxford were started in the 13 and 1400s in England. Do you know why they were started? They were started by people who claimed to be Christians and they wanted to educate people in languages and in science and in math. You know why they did that? Because they were reading in their Bible about, here's an example, the human body is fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139. And they're thinking, okay, I'm made by God, this body is fearfully and wonderfully made, God gives me my mind, my body, I'm told both in the Old and New Testament to put my all into things, and Jesus tells me to think and use my mind. I want to learn more about this human body that is fearfully and wonderfully made. It was people who believed in God and the Bible and Jesus that gave us modern day science and modern day health. And it started in the university. In our country, did you know that prior to 1837, in our country, the primary educational process was done by Christians or some church setting? Did you know that? We didn't have public education in this country up until about the mid-1800s. Prior to that, it was private Christian education in this country. Did you know that even when public education came along in the early to mid-1800s, did you know the McGuffey Reader and other educational materials that were used at that time were based on the Bible? Jesus has had an impact on every area of our life. The founding fathers of the United States of America were believers in God and believers in Jesus Christ. George Washington, the first president, read his Bible on a daily basis. The young people, get a copy of the U.S. Constitution, get a copy of the Bill of Rights, get a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and see how much religious language is in those documents. And then tell me, well, they haven't had an impact on life. Oh, they have. You're sitting in a country upheld by documents that are religious through and through. Jesus has impacted civil liberties. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln read his Bible? And he is on record saying, we, all of us, black, white, it doesn't matter what color you are, we're all made in the image of God. He was the president who moved to free the slaves. What if there'd not been an Abraham Lincoln and a Gettysburg? Jesus has impacted science. Did you know that our modern science and modern science goes back to some of the fathers of science in the 1400s, 1500s? Did you know that those scientists, Galileo, Johannes Copernicus, do you know that those men were believers? Some of them came from the Catholic Church. They believed that God made the universe, that God made the human body. And that because God did that, He would expect us to study His creation and learn more about it. Modern day science, modern day health, modern day medicine, all goes back to men and women who were believers. And it was because of their belief that made them sit down one day and learn and study and investigate the human body and so forth. Because of principles that they were reading in Scripture. Do you know that Jesus has impacted economics? The principles of saving and being good stewards and not going into debt and those types of things all go into play in our modern day economic system. We need to get back to that. Jesus has impacted human sexuality. Bob talked about this a little bit this morning in Hebrews chapter 13 about the marriage bed being undefiled. Jesus came in and made that relationship pure. In Paul's day, read Romans 1. Read the sexual immorality that was going on. Jesus elevated people from that muck and mire of sin and the gutter of sin and brought them up to that which is going to be pure and honorable. Jesus has impacted health and medicine, as I've just mentioned. Many, many situations we have today. The Red Cross was started by people who believed in Jesus Christ. The modern day hospital was founded by people in the Middle Ages who believed in Jesus Christ. I want us to stop and think about this impact. What if Jesus had never been born? Jesus has impacted morality. The New Testament, we're going to see this some more even this evening and this morning, the New Testament has impacted morality to lie, not lie, but tell the truth. Not be deceitful, not lie, tell the truth. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where did that come from? Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? To love God with all of your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That didn't come from any atheist. That didn't come from an unbeliever and a skeptic. That came from Jesus. And we're the beneficiaries of that. And how great that is. To tell the truth always. To be sexually pure. To be honest. To love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus elevated people. He came into a world that degraded people. Lies and deceit and sexual immorality and abuse. Women were abused in the first century. Babies were abused. If you look down through world history, any time since the coming of Jesus, when there has been an elevation of humanity, it is always tied to Jesus Christ. Always. And I say that without hesitation. There's not one elevation of humanity in the past 2,000 years that is not tied to Jesus Christ. He's impacted art and music. Many of the early artists and poets and painters were individuals who claimed to be Christians, and much of the early art and music that was developed. In fact, music was modern day music is built upon the first century church music. Modern art comes from painters hundreds of years ago that would paint Bible scenes and religious matters. And even though we don't know what Jesus looked like, they were painting Jesus and things like that. But it was again tied to the Bible. So this morning I want us to consider if Jesus had never been born. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't need Jesus. Well, you're sitting in a country, in a culture, and in a world that's been impacted by him. And it's best simply to obey him. So let's look at some Bible matters. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. If Jesus had never been born, then we would not have the moral and ethical teaching of the New Testament. Do you know that you like moral and ethical teaching? You like to work with people who tell the truth, don't you? Where did that come from? You like to work with people who are honest and tell the truth. Where did that come from? That didn't come from atheists. That came from Jesus. And all of the moral and ethical teaching in the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, and even if you want to add in what we call the Judeo-Christian material, if you want to add in Genesis to Malachi, do that too. It all elevates people. It raises them up to a higher ethical and moral standard where you're treated better and you treat other people better. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In Matthew chapter 5, I find this kind of odd that the Jews would be saying this. But apparently some were, and Jesus tackled it, as he often would. In Matthew chapter 5, come down toward the end there of chapter 5 where he's talking about, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, verse 43, you have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, why they said that, that's not biblical, but they were saying that. But I say unto you, love your enemies. When Jesus came into the world, it was perfectly fine to hate your enemies. And there's a lot of people today that would love to live by that same rule. But he elevates us and brings us higher and says, love your enemy. Later he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He tells people to tell the truth. He tells people to be honest. He tells people to be pure inside their heart, not just have your hands washed, but Matthew chapter 15 and Mark 7, have a pure inner heart. Look at Luke 10. Do we have good Samaritan laws? Where did the good Samaritan laws come from? Well, they came from the good Samaritan. Imagine that. Luke chapter 10. Well, who taught that? Jesus. We have good Samaritan laws that come from Jesus, where we encourage people to stop and help other people who are on the side of the road bleeding or are about to be carjacked or they've been hurt in some way, and we encourage people to get involved. Be a good Samaritan. Where'd that come from? Jesus. And I want us to be reminded this morning of His great impact in the world. We would not have a perfect, sinless example to follow. Oh, how we need someone to follow today who is literally 100% perfect. And Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21 that He has left us an example that we should follow in His steps. There's no one like Jesus that we can turn to find out what to say on this particular situation, how to act in this particular situation. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And we can open up our Bibles and learn, how do I respond in any given situation? We would not have that perfect, sinless example. Somebody says, well, I got all kinds of people today that I can follow. Okay. Yeah, the Hollywood star, right. Good luck with that. And the NFL star, okay, yeah, good luck with that. About the time you get set on somebody that you really like them, you find out, well, oh, they got pulled over for a DUI, or they got pulled over for, you know, they got caught for gambling, or he's now leaving his wife, and this and that. Not Jesus. And John 13:15, I've given you an example that you should follow. Jesus came not just simply to give us a higher level of moral teaching to make us better people. There's not a one of us here this morning that wants to be around people of a low moral character. We all want to be around people of high moral character. All of it came from Jesus. And number two, He gives us this example to follow. I want to give you a challenge before you leave this morning. And if I'm wrong, I want you to come to me and show me I'm wrong. And I'm serious about this. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Go home and think about this. Can you name one statement, words, or one action that is good, that helps people, that elevates people, that raises them up, that betters them, that does not come from the Bible? You find one and bring it to me. Find one statement or one action that doesn't help somebody that's not already in the Bible. Stop and think about that. If you find it, please let me know. I'll show you in the Bible either the exact wording that you're giving me or something like it. I believe every statement that can be made today or any action that can be done today that truly helps people and elevates them has already been said or done in the Scripture. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong. My point is this. Atheists and skeptics and unbelievers, they're all borrowing their stuff from the Bible while simultaneously saying, we don't need the Bible. They get stuff from Jesus while simultaneously saying, well, I don't need Jesus in my life. We would not have a greater picture of God. Turn with me to John 14, verse 9. Philip said, show us the Father. Just show me God. And people do that today. Richard Dawkins, about 10 years ago, the great atheist, Richard Dawkins said, he was asked on the stage of, you know, one of these TED Talks, you know, where everybody's, you know, applauding him, how great Richard Dawkins is. Someone said, Mr. Dawkins, what would it take for you to become a believer? And he said, well, I guess If God showed up in this 900-foot, being of God, and he was standing right there, maybe I would believe in him. But then he went on to say why maybe he even wouldn't believe in that. But there are people today who are saying, well, if I could just see God. Well, friends, you have a picture of God. You have a perfect and complete picture of God. Before Jesus came, you could know some things about God in nature. The psalmist tells us that in Psalm 19. But Jesus came, verse 9, have I been so long time with you? He's talking to Philip. And do you not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How say you, show us the Father? Jesus is God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He's God, John 1, verse 1. He's deity. And the Word, deity, became flesh. John 1, 18, Jesus declares the Father, literally to show, to exegete, to show. Hebrews 1, 3, he's the very image of God. Somebody says, well, how would God talk? Look at Jesus. How would God act? Look at Jesus. What would God do in this situation? Look at Jesus. We would not have that perfect example, and we would not have that greater picture of God. We don't have to say, I wish God would just show up and show himself. He did that 2,000 years ago, and we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to record that. Eyewitnesses, they discuss some of his birth, they discuss some of his childhood, the majority of it is his 3-year ministry. We have a lot of God. And we can thank Jesus for that. You know, if Jesus had never been born, we would not have the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. Somebody says, well, why is that a big deal? Well, if you know anything about your Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, there are a lot of things there that are still left unfulfilled if Jesus had not come. And that's really the approach of the modern day Jew, the Orthodox Jew. Their position is the Messiah hasn't come yet. And there's all of these things like Isaiah 53 and other passages. We're still waiting for our Messiah. They've got an entire Old Testament that is unfulfilled. And yet we know that Jesus did fulfill that. And after his resurrection, if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 24, when he was with his disciples, he says that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. We have the complete fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies. If Jesus had never been born, we would not have a sacrifice for sin. We would not have salvation for sin. Everybody would still be in sin today. Sin is a violation of God's word. If you lied one time in your life, just one time, you can never get rid of that without Jesus Christ. Just one lie, just one act of deceit, just one bad word, just one act of sexual immorality, whatever it is, you can never be forgiven of it without Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners, Matthew 9:13. I love John 12:47. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. Wow. And Paul even says, talking about his own sinful life, turn with me to 1 Timothy 1:15. He talks about how much of a sinner he was. The chief of sinners, faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, are you and I better than Paul, where we will not admit that? Well, I'm not a sinner. What a great thing that is. Verse 14, the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God sent forth his Son to be the Savior of the world, 1 John 4:14. What a great thing that is. And all he does this morning is ask us to contact that blood in baptism and wash away our sins and live faithfully each and every day. And as a Christian, if we do fail, and if sin comes into our life, we can come back to Christ. And 1 John 1:7-9, that blood continues to flow for the Christian who has a sin in their life, and they can be forgiven too if they'll repent of that sin, Acts 8, and if they will confess that, 1 John 1:7-9, we can be saved from that sin. But without Jesus coming into the world, we would not have that. You see how much Jesus has impacted the world? We sit in a society that has a good healthcare system as a result of individuals hundreds of years ago who believed in Jesus. We have an educational system, what's left of it. We have science, and we have medicine, and we have education. And we have people who will elevate others and help others, and we have laws. Our laws, many of our laws, are based upon Judeo-Christian principles. Our founding fathers, when they came up with the original documents and the laws of the land, they weren't just sitting around willy-nilly making up laws. They were based upon principles that were found in both the Old and New Testament. And we live in a land where that is the case. Friends, all you have to do is travel outside this country. Travel outside this country and go to other countries that don't have the laws based upon Judeo-Christian principles and see what happens when you visit there. Oh, civil rights and human rights and things like that, they're not as important in those countries. Why? Because they're not based upon principles that say, love your neighbor as yourself, you see. There's ramifications to all of this, isn't there? But my point with that was, not only do we have the great hospitals and the medicine and the science and the education, but on top of all that, we can have forgiveness of sins. What a great thing. We would not have a church body to help us. Jesus came to build a church, meaning people. A church is not a building, it's people. And he shed his blood, Acts 20:28, for the church. It's a group of people who've been called out of the world, and those people can help us go through life. They can pray with us, and they can talk with us and encourage us. And Reggie was saying before the service back in the office there, meeting together, my uncle has passed away, and thank you for your prayers, and I appreciate you being there for me. People out in the world don't have that. Did you hear about any psychological problems during the pandemic? Did you hear about anybody having psychological and emotional problems during the pandemic? Did you hear about that? I heard about that a lot. You know why? All they have is their work. They go to work, they come home. They go to work, they come home. God's not in their life. Jesus is not in their life. The Bible is not in their life. They don't have a church family, and many of them are mentally and emotionally and socially messed up because they don't have people to help them. And they're just trying to get it on their own, and they're failing many times. Suicide is up. Drug abuse is up. Alcohol abuse is up. Why? People are trying to get through life just on their own, and it's not working. If Jesus had never been born, we would not have what we call the local church, to have what we might call a support group or help as we go through life. If Jesus had never been born, we would not have a mediator between us and God. There's one mediator between God and man, himself man, Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 7, different places where Jesus is our intercessor. We have someone who can span the gap between God in heaven and us on the earth. Jesus can span the gap. And we can go to him, Romans 8, in prayer, and he can say things to the Father for us. Wow. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed a go-between? What if you were coming up on some big court case and you needed someone to talk to the judge? You can't just walk up there and talk to the judge. Hey, I want to talk to you. You got to have someone to talk to the judge for you. Have you ever needed someone to talk to the boss for you? I mean the big one, the CEO one, the way up there one. You can't just march into his office and say, hey, I want to have a few words with you. Sometimes we need help with people who will span the gap between us and the bigger person, as it were. And we need that with God. We need a mediator. We need someone who has lived this life and been tempted in all points, like as somebody says, well, can Jesus really identify with us? Yes, that's the whole point. He lived the life just like we have to live. He was tempted in all points like as we. So he definitely knows about us. He's God, so he definitely knows about deity. He can understand both sides. And that's a beautiful passage, 1 Timothy 2:5. A mediator between God and man. Himself man. Jesus Christ. If Jesus had never been born, and I'll close with this point, we would not have a hope of life after death. You gather around all your atheist and unbelieving and skeptic friends, and what happens when you die? Well, nothing happens. That's just it. Okay, well, that's a nice life to live. So, what are you hoping to accomplish now? Well, you know, I just get what I can while I can get it, and because one day I'm going to die and that's going to be the end of it. We cease to exist. Well, Jesus offers a lot better hope than that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. And Jesus, because of his resurrection and because of his plan of salvation, we have a hope of life after death. Listen, that is what keeps people going. That's what makes their life worth living. That's why they put their all into a cause here in this life, because we know that there's another life and we can be with God around his throne in heaven. That gives purpose and meaning now. That's why I don't end my life. That's why I work hard in my job. That's why I help others. That's why I become a Christian, because when I die, that's not the end of it. Atheism gives people no hope whatsoever. Christianity does. In Philippians 1:21, Paul said, I'm at a strait between the two. To depart and be with Christ, or to remain among you. To depart and be with Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, he says that I can go home. Home, he used the word home. To be at home with Christ. You see, that gives us hope. And if Jesus had never been born and come into this life and been resurrected and offered the plan of salvation, we would not have that. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 2, he says that there are some without hope in the world. They're without God. And by the way, that's atheos, atheist. They're without God and they are without hope in this world. Do you know that one thing that people are having a hard time with today is hope? You know that? Did you know in about 2 months, about February, up in Canada, they have passed laws that's going to come into play around February. Listen to this. Where young people do not have to get their parents' permission to end their life. You do not have to get your parents' permission. You don't have to talk with them. You don't have to go discuss with them. On any given day, when you're feeling bad and you want to end it all, you just go down the street to whatever service is providing that, and you're gone. And your parents are wondering, well, why didn't they come home from school that day? Because they walked down the street and someone helped them end their life. We're having trouble with hope. We're having trouble in the world with wanting to live more and wanting to get through. I'm not discounting problems in life. People have problems and they're real. I'm not saying that's a fairy tale. It's real problems. But Christ tells us how to work through that and get through that and make it meaningful and keep living and have a hope of life after this death in heaven. But this secular atheistic lie that's being told the whole humanity is, well, you're going to die anyway, and that's the end of it. Why not do it now? You can do it now. You can do it later. It's no big deal. It all ends in the same. And we are telling people not to have hope anymore. And shame on those Canadians for making that a law now. Can you imagine? 12-year-old having a bad day. 12-year-old. Well, let's end your life. Do you talk to your mom and dad? No, the law says I don't have to talk to my mom and dad about that. Okay. Jesus elevates that. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, we have one hope along with those other things. If Jesus had never been born. And so I close with this thought. Thanks be to God that Jesus was born. Thank you, God. Absolutely. And so this morning, as we and many around the world think about the birth of Christ, I wanted to remind ourselves if Jesus had never been born. On the radio program this morning, I made the observation that 93% of Americans observe Christmas. 93% of Americans observe Christmas. But only 50 to 60% of Americans follow Him on a daily basis. So 93%, which is pretty high, they want all of the stuff that goes with Christmas. But only 50, 60% want the actual daily following Him. What Jesus wants is the actual daily obedience in following Him. You can begin that this morning if you've not been baptized into Christ. There wouldn't be baptism. There wouldn't be this water and this invitation and any of this if Jesus had never been born. But it's available to you this morning if you'll take advantage of it. What a great way to end this year and begin a new year being a child of God. Or as a Christian, if we need to come back in some way, we're going to sing this invitation song for you as well. But let's all go out really, truly understanding the impact, whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we think about it or not, the grave and serious and great impact that Jesus has had in this entire world. And let's be busy serving Him today. If we can help you in that way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?